Welcome to the podcast for the First United Methodist Church, located in Round Rock, Texas. This week, we have a very special message from Pastor Tommy Perdome of the First United Methodist Church in Salado, Texas. Pastor Perdome talks about the importance of knowing ourselves and knowing Christ, and how Jesus has given us the tools to do so. As always, we thank you for listening and hope that you're enjoying these podcasts. Please feel free to share them with friends and family. For more information, you can find us at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media outlets at fumcrr.
So I'm so excited to be here with y'all here today. As Brad said, this is my home church. This is the church that Kirsten made me start going to, my wife, back, 2000-ish. The church that I came to Christ in, it's the church where I discerned my call to ministry after resisting it for a long, long time. And it's the church that helped me to fulfill that call. It's been actually 9 years. It seems like yesterday, but it's been 9 years since I was here, since I've been out pursuing that ministry. So I was so thankful when Brad suggested that I come here and preach. I know a lot of y'all. A lot of y'all I don't know, but you're all still my family because this is my home church. And so I am very excited to be here and look forward to worshiping a little bit more with y'all. And as we start out with that, as I start out with my sermon, I got a question for y'all. And that question is pretty basic. It's like, think about your life. Think about your day-to-day life, you know, moment to moment, how you live your daily life, and come up with one word to describe it. One word to describe your daily, everyday, walking around life. And I'll start us off. For me, it's draining. Draining. Just day-to-day life is draining. It's ironic. I am a big-time introvert, so it's ironic that I picked a profession where I spend most of my time dealing with people, right? And I love it. I wouldn't change a thing about it. I'm doing exactly what I ought to be doing, but man, I get home at the end of the day sometimes, and I am just drained. I gotta recharge my battery. So for me, my day-to-day life is kind of draining. Now, how about you? This is not rhetorical. I'd like some actual responses. What's that? Thankful. You're doing a lot better than me. Okay.
Busy,
yeah. I can relate to. The busy I can relate to.
Work.
Work and busy, I think, kind of go together, don't they? Anybody got little kids? Yeah, they're all back there, but, you know, some of us have been there. What else? What other words? Laughter. So we got hectic back here and we got laughter back there. So I want to sit back with those people. Okay, so we got hectic, and we got laughter. I'll put that with thankful, because those are good things. All right, fun? Man, okay, now I want to sit up there, but that would require that I sing, and that's not good for anybody. All right, what else? Got anything else? Concern, yeah, concerned. I think I may have heard hassled. If not, I imagined it because that's kind of how my life is sometimes. Yes.
Routine
and what's for dinner? Routine and we'll put what's for dinner up here at the top because that's one that I often ask. And if you know my wife, Kirsten, you know that her response to that is probably not very kind. So we got a pretty good list going here. And what we need to understand is that Paul, the guy who wrote this letter that was just read from, he was dealing with a people who were very, very similar to us. He was dealing with a church in the Roman province of Galatia that, that you know, they had their issues, just like we got our issues. There, some of them were probably thankful, some of them were, but a lot of them had you know, difficulties like the difficulties that we face on a day-to-day basis. Now, those Galatians, before Paul met them, they were what were known as Gentiles, which simply means that they were not Jews. The Jews kind of separated the world into Jews and then everybody else, and the everybody else was Gentiles. And so these Gentiles, before Paul met them, they had been pagans, which meant that they worshiped lots of different gods for lots of different things, right? So if they wanted a successful marriage, then there was a god that they could pray to for that. If they wanted a successful harvest, there was a god they could pray to for that. You know, if they wanted a lot of money, there was a god they could pray to for that. So they had all these gods, and they prayed to all these gods. But then Paul shows up, and he sort of, you know, tells them the good news of new life in Jesus Christ, and a lot of them, as a result of that visit, came to believe. They came to follow Jesus. And so at some point, after he'd sort of developed a critical mass of these people who had committed their lives to Jesus, Paul then moved on, because that's what Paul did, right? I mean, if you read through the New Testament, it's like Paul's going here, and then he's going here, and then he's going here. He's starting new churches as he goes. And so he leaves behind the church in Galatia, goes and starts another one. And right behind him come these folks who have a little bit different understanding of what it means to follow Jesus than Paul did. See, they believed that for you to actually be a follower of Jesus, for you actually to be a Christian, you had to be a Jew. You know, and it kind of made sense. Jesus was a Jew, so why not all Jesus' followers be Jews? And you know, it sounds okay, but there were some issues with that, right? Like if you were a guy, you had to get circumcised. And if you were anybody, you had to follow a whole bunch of rules. You had to follow rules about what you eat, how you eat it, how you prepare it. You had to follow rules about when you worship and how you do that. I mean, there's all these rules you had to follow. And Paul, when he heard that these people were coming in and teaching his church that they had to become, he was so mad, right? Because he did not believe that at all. And so he writes this letter that you just heard from. The reason he writes the letter is because he wants to say to his church there in Galatia, you don't listen to those nincompoops. Although he used very much more colorful and powerful language than that. See, don't listen to those idiots. Don't listen to those morons. They don't know what they're talking about. And his argument was pretty simple. It was like, okay, you remember what your lives were like before you met me, before you came to Christ? You remember what your lives were like as pagans? They were miserable. I mean, they were full of anger. They were full of hatred. They were full of division. They were full of joyless self-gratification. They were draining. They were busy. They were hectic. They were miserable. And you know why they were so miserable? Because you were trying to be in control. Because you were trying to be in control. So you were worshiping gods that you created to do stuff that you wanted done, when you wanted it done, how you wanted it done. How'd that work out for you? Not so good. Not so good. And what he's saying to them is that, you know, this thing about becoming a Jew so that you can worship Christ, it's exactly the same thing. There's no difference. It's about control. It's about you being in control, right? If I just do the right stuff, if I just say the right stuff, if I just believe the right stuff, if I just behave myself the right way, then I'll be good. Then I'll be saved. It's about you being in control, and it doesn't work. That's what Paul told them. But he did give them an alternative. He did give them a different way. Now, as Pat mentioned, next Sunday is Pentecost. At Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, you know, to that upper room there in Jerusalem. We celebrate the coming of that Spirit into that room, lighting a fire, not just under, but within those disciples. Entering into those disciples and giving them a new way of living, a new way of looking at the world. And at Pentecost, we also celebrate the fact that it wasn't just those disciples. Anyone who turns their life over to Jesus, anyone who entrusts their life to Jesus, receives that same Spirit that those disciples received at Pentecost. Now, most of us here are Christians. Now, there may be a few of you who are kind of trying to figure it out, and like I said earlier at one of the other services, I've always kind of had my doubts about Brad. And y'all may be, can I get an amen? Yeah. But most of us anyway, most of us here are Christians. And so we believe in this thing called the gospel, right? This thing called the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. But have you ever just sort of sat down and thought about, what does that mean? What is the good news? And what the heck's so good about it? What Paul says to this church in Galatia, the good news that he gives to them is that y'all can quit trying to earn God's love. In fact, you need to quit trying to earn God's love, because you already got it. There's nothing you can do to get it. There's nothing you can do to get rid of it. You are beloved children of God. The God of the universe loves each one of you individually. And that's the fact. And so all you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is just stop trying to be in control long enough to turn that control over to Jesus, and then you too will receive that same Spirit that those disciples received in that upper room in Jerusalem. You too can live a new, bountiful, born again, eternal kind of life. Now, some of us, you know, we think of church, and I admit this was me many years ago. We think of church as a place where we come to kind of get yelled at, right? It's like, you know, there's this God up there who's you know, he's kind of an old white guy with a long beard, and he's shaking his finger at us, right? He's angry with us, and he's just looking for excuses to slap us around a little bit. Some of us understand church, on the other hand, as an opportunity to get a little bit of shut-eye. Now, none of y'all fall into that category, right? But it's, you know, it's a time when we come, we've had a hard week, we come here, we pretend to sing some songs, and then we get a little shut-eye while the pastor goes on and on and on about some obscure theological point that no one cares about and that has no relevance at all to our lives. Although I'm sure that's never the case here, right? Right. Sure. I've heard Brad preach. Oh my gosh. So what Paul is saying, though, to that church in Galatia is that is not what church is about. That's not what life is about. Life is not about just surviving. Life isn't about just making it from one week to the next without something really horrible happening in between. Life is about living. Life is about being excited. Life is about being enthusiastic. Life is about being fired up. Life is about living in the Holy Spirit, living in that Spirit that God has made available to us, and living out that Spirit through the fruit of the Spirit, through that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness, gentleness. It's about living differently. It's about turning our fear into love, about turning our dismay into joy, our despair into hope. It's about living fired up. Now the world around us, if we exclude this one, because the world doesn't want us to be thankful or laugh or have fun. The world around us is trying to make us think that this other stuff is normal, that it's normal for us to just sort of walk through a routine. It's normal for us to feel hassled and concerned. It's normal for us to be wondering, what's for dinner? That is normal. It's normal for us to just feel drained all the time. But that's wrong. That's not normal. Paul gives us an alternative. Jesus gives us an alternative. Jesus has made available to us an alternative of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have the opportunity to live a new and different kind of life, a life that Jesus described throughout the gospel as new life, abundant life, born again life, eternal life, a fired up life, an enthusiastic life, a fired up life. Now, some of y'all may have noticed that there's a tiny little flaw in my argument here. Because, like I said, most of us here, few people accepted, are Christians. Yet when I asked you, let's come up with a list of what our daily lives look like. We got this stuff. We got some good stuff, but we got this stuff. So what's up with that? Well, I don't think it's God's fault. I think what's happened is that so many of us have grown up with either a distorted or a watered down understanding of who we are and who God is. We've either grown up believing that God's mad at us and wants to smite us, which again, that's not good news. Or we've grown up believing that God's sort of like an absentee father who we visit on occasion, but who really doesn't make any difference in our lives. Again, not good news. So what we got to do, what we got to try and figure out, what we got to try and internalize, what we've got to really know, not just up here, but in here as well, is who we are and who God is, right? We got to understand that we are beloved children of God. I am a beloved child of God. Every single one of you is a beloved son or daughter of God. Not just the people in this building either, everyone in the world is a beloved child of God because God is love. God is the divine and eternal relationship of love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we were created out of that love for no purpose other than to live in it, to be a part of it, to be a participant in that divine and eternal dance of love. That's why we're here. If we can just get our heads around that, if we can just accept that, then we can give up control to Jesus. Then we can accept that Spirit. into our lives. Then we can live those kind of fired up, new, amazing, bountiful, incredible lives that God created us to live. Now, every day is not going to be like that because we all are going to have difficulties. What I'm talking about here is a process. It is a process of being transformed day by day, moment by moment, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us into the very image of Christ. And the further we go through that process, the further we go in our lives, the easier it becomes, the better it is. And for most of us, we're never going to get all the way there. We're never going to get to that place where we enjoy perfect, you know, peace, love, joy, all of that stuff that Paul says. But here's the good news. Here's the good news of new life in Jesus Christ, and that is that in Christ, we never, ever have to live the same kind of life today that we lived yesterday, that we lived last week, that we lived a year ago. Jesus offers each one of you new life, a new kind of life, an abundant kind of life, a joy-filled kind of life, a faithful life, a peaceful life, a patient life, a generous life, a gentle life, a kind life, a life of self-control. Jesus offers each one of you a new kind of life. Live as a full participant in that divine and eternal dance of love. A life lived there. The only question is, will you accept it? Would you go to God with me now in prayer? Loving God and Almighty God, we admit, in fact, we confess this morning that we usually have a difficult time understanding who you are, understanding who we are, getting our minds completely around the idea that you do love us no matter what we do, no matter what we say. You love us because you are love. We so often want to go our own way. We so often want to do our own thing. Loving God, help us this morning. Help us in the days to come, in the weeks to come, in the years to come. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to grow closer to understanding the immense mystery of your love. And help us through that to live out that love, to enable that love to be just a part of who we are so that we can share it with those around us. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one you sent to save us. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Sermon Series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.